Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Welcome back. All right, today on Home But Not Alone, we are wrapping up 2020. This year has been a whirlwind. Things have been different from what we're used to, different from what we expected, and it has been a real challenge sometimes. But we've learned a lot of lessons from dealing with the craziness of this year, so we just want to share some of those with you today. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. So, okay. So I was doing some random, you know, searching on the internet like people do. And okay, first of all, I kind of hope nobody ever puts me up for canonization, because that would probably go very poorly. Okay. I'm sure they would find all kinds of things and be like, this guy's not holy. This guy's not even close to holy.
And oh, like random internet things?
Yeah, with the random internet things, just conversations I'd had, things I wrote down and I forgot, whatever it may be. And then they'd probably be filed in the Vatican permanently or something like that and be like, oh, good, so glad. But here's the thing. If I ever was canonized, which again, I don't think is going to happen, I've been wondering what my depiction would be, because like most saints, they're depicted, and, you know, and it's like I looked up just to find a couple of thoughts, but like Joseph's always holding the lilies and the carpentry tools. Do you know why he holds lilies?
Yeah, lilies are a symbol of purity.
Okay, see, I feel like I knew that and forgot. I knew that a long time ago and I forgot. I thought maybe he's just making like window boxes with the carpentry and he's putting flowers in them. Probably not. But I thought, who knows?
Usually the things they're holding are like a symbol of their sanctity, or like the means of their sanctification.
Yes.
Which is why the martyrs are often holding like the thing that killed them, or that they were beheaded with. They're holding a sword or whatever. Yeah.
That makes sense. In St. Paul, he has a sword. He wasn't
right.
Beheaded. Was he beheaded? Wait. Yes. I don't know. I don't know how he died. He wasn't crucified because he was a Roman citizen. That wasn't allowed. But he has the scripture and he has the sword for defense of the faith and everything. So but here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out what my image would be like. Do you have any idea what yours would be? What would you be holding? I know.
That's It has to be like, it's like the mode of your sanctification. So what things in your life are bringing you closer to holiness? So that's why I think of, you know, in terms of my life, you think of Saint Gianna, who's like holding her babies and stuff, you know, because it's our vocation in the family, my vocation as a wife and as a mom. Those are the things that should be bringing me closer to holiness. Unless something crazy happens, I end up getting like beheaded or martyred or something.
Hey, crazier things have happened. That's actually, I'm not sure they have. I don't know. Maybe I'd be just holding a box full of social media logos. I don't know. That drives me closer to holiness. That's probably not it. Anyway, hey, for all of you guys who are listening to that ridiculous conversation that I just pitched out there, tell us what you think your saint card image, whatever, would be
like
holding.
If you were on an icon, what would you have in your hands?
Or would you be wearing something like Mary's wearing blue a lot, because blue in the medieval times or, you know, Middle Ages, something, it was a really difficult dye to afford. So then the artists were like, let's make her and, you know, give her that, because that's royalty and symbolizing Queen of Heaven and Earth. So, you know, what would you be wearing or holding? I don't know. Anyway, that's just something silly that I learned. And today we're talking about things that we've learned in this crazy, chaotic year of 2020. So here's what gave me the idea to talk about this. So I heard someone mention very early, maybe it was even in the end of 2019, there was something going around on social media. And this woman had posted that her dad had decided that her dad's entire professional life was one big dad joke. And it was because he was an eye doctor who had decided to retire in the year 2020. And 2020 being perfect vision, he And so he's okay, decided that anyway, it's not a 2020. It's not a, yeah, it's not a great joke. Anyway,
I was trying to think of like this 2020. I think 2020 has kind of been.
Yes. Well, so it got me thinking that really, okay, that's what we say in terms of eye health, is that 2020 is seeing things 100% clearly. And in this year of 2020, we have been seeing things very clearly, often because they've gone horribly wrong or whatever nonsense that we had held up in front of our eyes, distorting how we had seen things through rose-colored glasses or whatever, that's all gone. And so we are now seeing things very clearly, and maybe we're seeing them not as good, or maybe we're seeing certain aspects of life being better. We don't know. But I think that as we see things clearly, we have to not get overwhelmed by the difficult aspects and make sure we spend time focusing on what have we learned? How have we grown? What do we know now for the better, hopefully, that we didn't know? So we both have some stuff we wrote down on our notes. But one of the things that I started with was, I don't need people, but I definitely need people. Okay. And
oh, I need people.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is I'm coming to realize, like, okay, there is this, and I think we've talked about this a little before, there's this dependency that we create on other people instead of a dependency on God. And that there are so many difficult things that have happened this year where I would like to have leaned on someone else, and they were no longer available, either because, you know, they're like lockdowns and quarantine. Even people where I wouldn't think, oh, well, I lean on them. Like at our local gym, we used to go and our kids would go to the little babysitting area, the little child area, and they would hang out there for up to 90 minutes with the people who watch the kids for free as a part of our membership. I guess it's not free then. But that was something that I used to lean on, especially as my wife would go to work and I would be like, hey, these are really long days. Let me go get a little exercise in, maybe check some social media, respond to an email or something while I'm pretending to exercise, whatever it may be. And the kids got to have fun. So I was leaning on them. So I was depending on them. And the truth is, yeah, I really don't need them as much as I need God. But at the same time, I do need people because I was made to be in relationship. I was made not just for isolation. And so it has shown me where I can cut and where I cannot when it comes to people that I need or that I rely on. So I don't know.
Wow, that's a good one. That's an interesting one. Here's one I learned about people this year. People need hugs. So in like maybe the middle of the summer, it was a few months after the whole everything got locked down and everyone was not seeing everybody. And I saw, you know, some people that I hadn't seen in a while. And I said, can I hug you? You know, like you ask permission before you hug people now. So I said, well, can I hug you? Yeah. And I hugged this person who said to me, this is the first hug I've had in 6 months. And my heart just broke. And it's like, okay, this thing like has shut us down so hard, like that we're so scared of each other that, you know, we're not even hugging each other, but people need hugs. Like people need to know that they're loved, like we're made for that. So it really just kind of that moment hit it home to me, like, okay, hug my people, you know, my family, hug my friends. And really, we have to let each other know that we're here for them. Like you said, people need people. We're made for relationship and community. And so after that first, like, can I hug you? I've been asking everyone if I can hug them.
That's really interesting. It's funny how this has reshaped some things in our way of thinking, because like without getting into somebody else's life, somebody gave me some good news the other day, few weeks ago, whatever it was. And I hugged that person just like, oh my gosh, I got to hug that person. Such great news. It wasn't until after the fact that I thought maybe I shouldn't have hugged them without, you know, asking, hey, would you mind if I maybe put both of us at risk for killing each other? Like, and I should have, but I was very happy for that person. Right. And I reacted that way. At the same time, my wife, Jess, and I will be watching something on TV that was filmed 10 years ago, and somebody will walk into a room and just shake somebody's hand. And we're like, what are you doing? Aren't you, you know, you're, did you wash your hands first? And then we're like, wait a second. That's not the same world. That's a whole, it's also fiction, and not our problem. But anyway, another one that I wrote down was practicing gratitude prepares people for the worst.
Yeah. Because, so explain that to me.
Well, so for years now, Jess and I have every night we list five things each, at least five things each from that day for which we are thankful. And when we originally did it, it helped me to reshape my entire worldview so that I could see things through a lens of gratitude instead of through a lens of, you know, focusing on myself, my struggles, my failures, what has been inflicted on me, whatever it may be. And it just turns out that gratitude really is a habit. And I noticed that when this first started happening, there were a lot of really two different types of reactions. And I'm being very generic here, and I don't mean to be, but there were in many ways two different types of reactions. One being people like, you know what, God is good. We still have this. We still have that. You know, I'm thankful for what I have. And the other hand, it was like, what do you mean you're taking away my insignificant thing or whatever it may be? And so just the idea of, yeah, it's okay to struggle with, hey, something's been ripped away from you. Hey, this is different. Mm. Hey, this is difficult. Hey, this is challenging. That's fine. But it's when all of a sudden it's like, what do you mean that thing that, you know, I had, and now I'm going to be so angry about it. And now I'm going to not be able to, you know, so that practicing gratitude prepares people for the worst. And, you know, I know that like when I lost my father, the fact that I knew how to be thankful made it easier. It's a very difficult thing, but it still is to this day, but it made it easier because I knew that I had a great father, and I knew that all the years I had him as a great father, that I was so thankful for that. I was so thankful for the family and friends and support that I had. So even though there was a pain and a suffering and a loss, I was so thankful for everything that I did have, or everything that I had prior to losing him. So it really helps prepare you for the worst or for something difficult, is just to be in a mindset, to have a mindset that's based in gratitude. I don't know.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Appreciating what you have while you have it. But at the same time, I like how you said, you know, it's okay to struggle with these things, but, you know, practicing gratitude for the positive things might help you cope even in the midst of some of these really terrible and difficult things that you're going through.
Yeah. And I think there are things in our lives that all of us, I know I do, but all of us fail to be thankful for on a regular basis.
Yep.
And then when we lose something else, we feel like we've lost something that's all we have, or that's a primary thing in our life. Whereas we might turn over and say, oh, wait, there's this other thing that I've failed to be thankful for a long time. So if I'd spent time being thankful for that, then the loss of the other thing, not quite as difficult in terms of, yeah. So, I don't know. What do you got?
All right. So here's what I learned. Opinions change. I feel like there's just been so much confusing stuff and so much to wade through this year that, like, it's like my opinion on these things might change from one day to the next, like, depending on where I am, what I'm going through, like, how I'm feeling about everything that day, what sort of challenges are in my way. And one of the things I learned is that, like, it's okay to change your opinions because opinions are subjective, and opinions can change, you know, depending on circumstances and depending on your viewpoint. And another thing is that it's okay to not even know what your opinion is right at this moment, because I have experienced that so many times this year, like feeling torn in both directions and just being unsure what I really feel about a certain situation that I'm in or a certain thing that's being asked of me. And it's like, I think we kind of expect each other, like we expect each other to have these really, you know, you take a side, you know, you're either this or you're that. And this year, how it's kind of thrown us all off a little bit, I think that it's okay for us to realize that sometimes we might be on the fence, or we might not be committed to one side or another, and that's okay. And then just to maybe accept that from other people a little as well, you know, be a little forgiving about other people, understand if they're coming from a different position, while they might have different circumstances or different experiences, that's leading them, you know, to feel in a certain way. So yeah, a lot of stuff about opinions I've been discovering, even my own opinions, how things can change from day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So here's another one of mine. So life is a lot shorter than most people realize. And as a result, we really need to narrow down our focus and narrow down our priorities. I don't know why, but a number of months ago, for something, I was looking up the history of the word priorities or priority, something like that. And there was a time up until 100, 200, 300 years ago where the idea of a plural priorities was just not really a concept. It was one, priority, one, right. Singular. There was one. What is your priority? Right. And now it's like, now I have all of these. And there's so many priorities. But we need to really narrow it down and focus up. And I realized that because I thought, okay, so this pandemic might take 2 years or so to pass. That's about how long the Spanish flu or whatever it was, I can't remember, something took about 2 years to pass. And I'm like, yeah, and we're about a year into that now. Okay, so this could take about 2 years before we return to where we were before this, if we ever fully do. But I think we will. I think we'll get back to normal. Okay, so 2 years. Well, let's say somehow I live 100 years. And based on my diet, that's not going to happen. But hey, I don't know if you've ever been recognized by the lady at the Taco Bell drive-thru, but I did a number of years ago, and it was a bad moment for me. I was like, oh no, she recognized me and my order. That's a bad sign. But let's say I live 100 years. Okay, then that means that a whole 2%, 1/50th of my life will be spent during this pandemic. Well, that's not nothing. That's significant. And so the idea that, yeah, life is fairly short and relatively short. And so we can't spend our lives saying, well, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and I'm going to make sure that this happens, and I'm going to experience those things, and I'm going to do. Yeah, you can have goals, but to make sure to say, hey, what are my real priorities? Because if you don't have a narrow list of here are my primary focuses, then you'll be constantly pulled to these million other things, and you'll never actually make progress in those areas. Mm. So if parenting is a priority, make it a priority. If faith is a priority, then make it a priority. If you make it one of 30, then you're a lot more likely to not give what you really could give. And maybe one day there'll be a lot of regret. So I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one.
What do you have next?
Okay, speaking of priorities, here's my next one. Social media breaks are necessary. I think a lot of times we let social media kind of take over our lives in a big way, whether it's with our time or our attention, or, you know, just with what we're taking in, it kind of can take over our lives. And so earlier this year, I mean, things have been blowing up online and in real life all year, but earlier this year, things just started getting crazy online, and I got overwhelmed, and I just took a break from social media. Like, I logged out, I changed my passwords, and just kind of took a complete break for a few weeks. And it was really, really nice. Like, it was rejuvenating for me, like for our marriage, for my family. And like you said, it was good to put the things that come first back first, instead of, you know, my phone and my Facebook feed and my Instagram feed. So just thinking that, you know, my family needs me more than my ministry needs me. Even though ministry is a good thing, and especially since ministry is online, I have to put my real life and my family first instead of ministry that's mostly on social media. So as stay-at-home parents, like, it can be really tempting to get sucked into the connection that happens on social media, and also kind of distracts us from the connections that happen in real life, like with our kids or with our spouse or with a friend. So logging off of social media can help put those real people back into that priority in your life. So definitely that was something I learned to work into my routine is regular social media breaks.
Yeah. I at this moment am toward the end of, although I might stretch it, a social media break. And did you know there's other stuff to do? Cause I didn't like, no, I say that jokingly, but the, like I've fixed so many things around this house in the last week that I was like, oh, I guess I could have done that a month ago, but I was busy doing Chase Love stuff. And so
scrolling on your phone and
yeah, get that like and whatever. And yeah, now I'm like, oh, hey, cool. That's fixed. All right. The list of things to fix is still long, but that's okay. I'll take, you know, I'll keep taking breaks. So yeah, similar to that. So I've discovered this year that a lot of people are kind of oblivious to like how the world works. In that the world doesn't share our values as Catholic Christians, the world does not share our values. And I, maybe some of you who are listening and watching experienced this earlier this year, but I noticed a lot of people when shutdowns started happening and it was like, okay, we're going to shut down churches, but we're not going to shut down this other thing. We're going to shut down this place, but we're not going to shut down that, whatever it was. And people were getting very upset, understandably, that, you know, well, wait a minute, this, my church, my place of worship, regardless of whether it's a Catholic church or not, my place of worship is far more important than this other thing, except we don't live in a world that values our values, that, you know, shares our values. We live in a world that shares many values that are in opposition to what we believe. So it can be very jarring to, and I'm sure it was for many, to find that out and to have that kind of thrust upon them. So this is why we need to teach our kids about the real world. We need to teach them about it in a gradual, age-appropriate way. But we do need to teach them, hey, you know, this is how the world sees us. This is how the world, you know, the world doesn't share this belief, and the world is going to be hostile to this belief because we don't want them to experience the same jarring reality. Because I'm sure for many, that's driven young people away from the faith when they get to a certain age, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a minute. Turns out I was in the vast minority of people who believe X, Y, or Z. And there are all these other things out here, and this is new. And I heard a priest explain recently, like, that's one of the reasons why so many people leave the Amish community is because it's so closed off. And then when they discover there's something else, then they're like, intriguing. Well, I'm going to go try that.
Yeah.
It's at the very least different. So, all right, what else do you have?
Okay, so speaking of kids in the real world, here's something that I learned, is that kids know a lot more than we give them credit for. So back in February, our family got, you know, we got sick, some sort of a bug or something. And my 9-year-old, well, he was 8 at the time. And he said to me, hey, you know, he's sick, and we bring him to the doctor, and he's like, oh no, I think we have the coronavirus. That means that first you feel fine, then you get a cough, and then you die. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I haven't heard of this coronavirus thing ever. Like, what conspiracy theorists, like, are you reading? You know, he was talking to his friends or whatever and found out about this before the news had hit me under my rock. So I think that it's important that, it just made me think that it's important that we know what our kids are learning from their friends and their peers, just by their regular interactions, you know, on the playground or with a friend, and that we make sure we help them process and filter that. Like, it was good that he said that to me, because then I could be like, okay, that's not how it works. Like, we need a little bit more context. Like, you don't have to be afraid that you're going to die right now. But yeah, just to keep in mind that kids know more than we give them credit for, and keep that line of conversation open. Like, hey, what were you and your friends talking about? But not doing it in a prying way, but doing it like in a being interested way, and to open the door for us to be able to lead them through some of these real world things or topics that they're discussing with their friends, but keeping it in context of the way that we want to form them.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. So another one I have is that this is similar to, you mentioned the social media, you mentioned some of the other issues. And I wrote down, some people are flaky. Don't let them get to you and don't be flaky. Now, I bring that up because if, like, back in May, when I'd post something on social media and I was like, nurses are heroes, people are like, oh my gosh, nurses are heroes and stuff like that.
Right.
And yeah. Now, if I do something like that, there's like six people who are like, yeah, that's still true. But for the most part, people have kind of moved on. So, right. And there have been any number of social media explosions this year, or social justice issues, or whatever, any number of things.
Yes.
And, you know, we in the States, we had an election and, you know, just like all kinds of stuff where it's like, here's the thing, you have to be on board with this and you have to be on board with it right now. And I remember there were people who were saying things like, if you haven't done X, Y, or Z with your social media, then you're not basically a good person, that you're not in favor of this cause. And I was sitting there, and when I saw that, I thought, I want to see what their social media feed is like in 4 months, in 3 months. And it all, every time something has happened, it all goes right back to the norm and people aren't consistent with it. So I wrote
this
down.
Well, and I specifically remember in a similar situation, I feel like I reached out to you and was like, I don't feel called to talk about a particular thing. Like, is this something I should be doing right now? Like, this is what my ministry is focused on. This, you know, my life is focused on something else. My ministry is focused on something else. And I don't feel either qualified or called to talk about X, Y, and Z particular issue. And I remember just feeling really like put at peace when you told me, Tim, like, no, focus on what God is telling you to do. And, you know, let other voices address the issues that, you know, they're more qualified to address. So,
yeah, there's every now and then something will pop up in the world and I'll be like, oh, I could write a blog about that. I could make a post about that. And I'm like, that has absolutely nothing to do with theology of the body, humanae vitae, any of the things that I talk about. So I'm not going to talk about it, because if I try to cover every issue, then it's going to water down my content, but it's also going to water down how God is calling me to love and serve.
Yes.
And so it's important that we discern that. So I wrote this down. I said, as Catholics, we shouldn't react emotionally, not in an immediate emotional way. We can respond emotionally. That's different.
Right.
And if something is worth standing up for in April, it's worth standing up for in December. So, yes. You know, that's anyway.
So it
all
goes
right, what
both
do you have?
Ways. It goes both ways. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh, look, I think we just covered this in what you just said. So I said that a lot of demands are flooding in from others on what we should, one of those words that we love, don't love, in what we should do in any number of different circumstances. And I just want to share, I guess this kind of sums up our last point. This is something that my spiritual director said to me, that you don't have to do what everybody else thinks you need to do, or what other people ask of you, or whatever other people demand of you. The only thing you need to do is what God requires of you. And so I think that that's important to take that to heart and really discern that. And this, especially this year, when there's so many voices coming from outside, really, it's between each of us and God, what we're called to do and how we're called to act in any given circumstance.
Yeah. Last thing I wrote down here is just that having a family is an enormous blessing, and that this year has taught me to refocus on my domestic church here, to really put my time and energy and effort into understanding what God is calling me to do within my vocation as husband and father, and to trust that he's got everything else. I love the St. John, the 23rd line, where when he was Pope and he would say, you know, all right, God, I'm going to bed. The church is yours, or some version of that. And I thought, that's, you know, yeah, we can focus on what we have. We can focus on building up this church for God, because 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, this pandemic will be long gone, and our children will be grown adults living out the faith in the world. So anyway, yeah.
All right, this wraps up episode 50. Woohoo! And this show closes out. season two, I guess we're calling them seasons, whatever, of Home But Not Alone, our first year of this podcast. We love that you've all been with us for this crazy ride of parenting. We're going to take a few weeks of winter break, but we'll be back in 2021 with more encouragement and real life conversations for you.
So we just want to thank everybody for listening and watching. Please, if you can, subscribe to our social or subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and on wherever you get your podcasts. Leave comments on social media and then take breaks from social media immediately after that. Sarah, where can people find you?
My website is tojesussincerely.com, and I'm on social media at tojesussincerely.
And you can find me at chasedlove.org and on Instagram and Facebook at thechasedlove. Now, no joke here. I usually end with a silly little parent advice joke that's terrible advice, but just a prayer that each one of us can see how God has spoken to us in 2020 and that we may allow whatever we've learned to reshape us for the better. So God bless you all. And remember, you're never alone.